Tonight is Monday night, October 7th, or Dalud Cheshvan. This is the Gemara Shir, Masechah Sukkah, with Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph.
Okay, Rabotai. So on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. But just have to say, it's like unbelievable. 800,000 people came to the Levaya. 800, it like smashed the previous record three times. The previous record was Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, about 250,000 people came. 800,000 people. The whole city of Yerushalayim could drive a car. Route 1 from Tel Aviv at the junction, the Motza junction down the bottom of the hill, every car had to exit. Only buses allowed to the Tachana Merkazit, and then you walked 800. What? It was today. Today, Rabbi Yosef passed away. Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
How old is he?
He was 93.
Was he alert till?
How alert he was the last year or so, it's hard to know. Hard to know. But he was a very, very unusual personality. Extremely unusual. You know, he came from a very humble background in Egypt. Not having the yichus that many Gedolei Yisrael have, and just worked his way up in terms of his scholarship and breadth. People say that he had, and it's hard to measure how big a bucky is, but the bakiyus that he exhibited was literally second to none. On any given issue, he would quote every Tom, Dick, and Harry that ever wrote anything of any substance whatsoever. He quoted. I could not believe that he would quote, what's that, Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa? Now, what's he quoting Shmir Shabbos for? You know, because it's because that's the way he did it. He thought with the Rishonim, the Ge'onim, and this, everybody on the planet he quoted. There is a story going around about him, and they're not saying about this most people. Apparently, there's only one manuscript of the Rashban, Maseches Eruvin, in the world. One manuscript. It's in the Vatican Library. And that's what they said. That he, no, they don't allow any pictures of it, they allow you to look at it, and they say he flew to the Vatican Library, read the manuscript from cover to cover, went back to Israel, and they published the Rashba's edition, the Rashba's commentary, based on what he had read and spit back. The breadth of his tshuvot are just unbelievable. He will always be remembered for his incredible non-stop effort on behalf of Agunot after the Yom Kippur War. There were dozens of Agunot whose a lot of soldiers' bodies were not recovered after the Yom Kippur War, and he took every single file, and he was matir every single one. Every single, without fail. I think there were 773 cases, which he personally took upon that responsibility, and he was a tremendous pesach in that regard. He was a very big mako, and obviously he put Sephardic Jewry on the map. They were always considered second-class citizens in the halachic world, in the political world, in the economic world. They never got, and he, by the creation of the party, of the Shas party, you know, put Sephardim back where they belonged. And you know, he said a lot of things over the years which were not terribly nice. There's no doubt about it. But he was just his breath. But to now, a lot of people have already written, you know, critically. Benny Lau did it, one of his I think it was his PhD on Avadi Yosef. There are three biographies of Avadi Yosef. Benny Lau is one of them. But he focuses more on the Psak Halacha of Avadi Yosef. There are two others that discuss the personal things also. And a lot of today's scholars come up and say, yet it's incredible bekiyas. But, and this is true, you will rarely find an ounce of analytical anything in any of his svarim. Not an ounce. When he quotes a machloikis, He says, this is what everybody says. And he says, here, you'd expect, okay, let's analyze why you think these guys are wrong and these guys are right. He never does it. Never, ever does it. So a lot of today, especially now that he passed away, so a lot of stuff is online. A lot of people saying, yeah, it's tremendous. Pekiyas obviously had a photographic memory. There's no doubt about it. And a lot of people used to say that this is, he's got a research to meet. He can't know all of this. It's impossible. So my brother told me that Rabbi Avadia used to do a radio show. And there was one time, for about a year and a half, my brother had a radio show right after him. And they were in the studio there together. So he actually saw how the questions came in, and he answered on the spot. And that radio show became the basis of Yechavadas. That's how they recorded it, then they edited it, and so he just, he didn't have a research committee there. He was just standing there, floating. A question came in on the radio, and he espoused, he gave all these opinions. It's scary how much he knew. But a lot of people, you know, felt it's not satisfying learning, because it's not lumped. There's no lumpness in there at all. So the Ashkenazic yeshiva world, you know, berates him and says, he's a computer, right? Instead of a computer, he can ask Avadi Yosef. Just his research. But the impact that he had was, it's just amazing. Even there were several subsequent Sephardic Rishon Lezion's, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, and others, Rav Amar. But in the Sephardic world, you ask who is the Rishon Lezion, Chacham Obadiah, he still carried the weight of, and that's...
You say that he's the Rav Yeshuvas even for the previous one, I think.
Well, for Rav Nissim?
Yeah.
He was not a big fan of Rav Nissim. He attacked him mercilessly. And there was a big fight. Avadi Yosef actually challenged a lot of Sephardic minhag. Rav Mashash, who was the Rav Rashi of Yerushalayim, an outstanding Moroccan background, typically would defend and ask Sephardic Jews to maintain a practice even though it's against Maran, against the Mechaber. For example, if you took a survey of women who lit candles in the Sephardic world before Avadi Yosef had his thing, they all made the bracha after they lit, like the Ashkenaz world. All made. Because they were considered, I don't know what it is, but in the Sephardic practice, that was the practice. And Avadi Yosef fought tooth and nail to change the practice. That you should follow Maran, the Mechaber. We Ashkenazim, we don't have to follow. We Sfarim don't care what this Ashkenazim say, and that we make the Birchas HaMitzvah before you light the candles. And the mere fact that you recite it does not necessarily mean that you've been Mekabel Shabbos and that you can't light it, because that's the way the Mechaber does it, and that's the way the Rambam does it. And he changed, and him and Rav Mashash did not get along very long because of it. And there were kama v'kama other areas where he tried to change Sephardic practice. And basically, he actually wrote, he meant it, he wasn't accepted, that because the Mechaber, in his opinion, was the Rav of Eretz Yisrael, that his Psak Halacha even governs Ashkenazic Jews. That was his ultimate position, that the Mechaber of Shulchan Aruch was the Mara, Maran of Eretz Yisrael, and that his weight should be followed. He considered getting rid of kidney oat, not only for Sfar, for Ashkenazim, because Maran.
I wish you
that's
had.
It. Maran. That's it. And so he was, unbelievable. Really,
even though he didn't analyze, he gave his opinion, though he gave a psak, right?
He was a bold, courageous posek, and he just told you, we paskin like. That's it. And, Many times he paskin like a real, like something like a real das yachid. And other rabbanim would say, why'd you ignore the majority, you know? Again, you would have expected him to say, okay, here's my svara, why I do so. Why I do so? Many times he just lines up. In that respect, he's very similar to Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah decides opinions based on the number of people who've taken a particular position. And Ovadia Yosef does that a lot also. And that's a different type of way of psak, consensus.
That's Mechaber did, right?
Right. In effect, he did that. That's correct.
Most of the time.
See, the Rambam and the Rif against the Rush. That's correct. You take a consensus. And that is a style of psak. We're used to a different style of psak, you know, where you analyze the issue, you don't particularly care what anybody else said, and you just analyze it and you see the merits of the case itself. But he made an enormous impact, no doubt about it. Enormous impact. Yeah. Okay. I'm learning. Tonight, I'm going to do something that I never do. We're going to learn a little Agadata. On the top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. And then when I started preparing this, it is so hard to prepare something. See, to read the Agadah, read the Gemara, you can do that without me. I don't bring anything. So I tried to bring something to the table on this piece of Agadata. And then I realized this is the first and last time that we're doing it. So the Gemara is on the top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah had said that Chassidim v'Anshei Maaseh. The Mishnah says, describing the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, that various people participated. It's on the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Chassidim v'anshei maaseh hayu meraktim bifneihem, were dancing, ba'avukos shel or shebiyadeihem, va'omrim lifneihem divrei shiros v'tushbachos, and they would recite certain praises. The Mishnah doesn't elaborate as to the text of what exactly were they were saying. So this is what the function of this particular braisa is. Chassidim v'anshei maaseh, Tanur Rabban, we learned in a braisa. Yesh mehen omrim, there are those who said, Ashrei yalduseinu shelo bisha ezignuseinu. Rashi learns, the way this is saying, Rashi says that the elu chassidim, these are a chassidim. What did the chassidim say? How fortunate we are that our youth, yalduseinu, our youth was conducted in such a fashion, shilobisha eziknusein, that when we got older, we could state with an element of pride, not only were we yirei Hashem now, but even when we were much younger, we were yirei Hashem as well. So some claim that the praise recited by the Hasidim was, Ashrei yalduseinu, how fortunate we were when we were young, shilobisha eziknusein, so that we can actually claim that we had a wonderful reputation throughout our entire life. We never, ever transgressed. These are what the Gemara calls chassidim. They said that. Elu chassidim anshei maaseh. V'yesh mehen omrin, and others said, no. Ashrei ziknuseinu, Shekipra es yalduseinu. And I'm translating the way most interpret the word Shekipra. How fortunate we are during our elder years that we atoned for our behavior in our youth. Elu bali tshuva. These are, the bali tshuva would say this. We acknowledge that years ago, what? We were terrible. We were transgressive. However, we finally wised up, and now during our elder years, our senior citizen years, we are acknowledging that, thank God, we came to the realization when we were older, and that enabled us to atone from our younger years when we were engaged in transgression. So is the standard interpretation. Based on Rashi. If you take a look at Rashi, Shelo Bisha, on the top of the page, Shelo Avarnu Avera B'Yalduseinu, Livayesh Ziknuseinu. We did not do an Aveira during our youth, which would have embarrassed us, shamed us when we were older. Inference that the next guy, group of guys, did Averos, but they were Bali Tshuva. So if you read this particular way of looking at it, you now generate the impression that somebody who had not done Averos all their life is of a higher quality than a Bal Tshuva. That's what it seems to say. That the Chassidim and the Anshei Maaseh are what? Are those who were never guilty at all. And it's only the Bali Tshuva that's correct. That's what some say, yeah?
Are you going to talk about the Rambam who asks who's better, a Chassid or a Kovish Yitzhak?
That's correct. So, and it's not only Rambam. The Gemara says, it's a very famous phrase, that b'makom shebalei tshuva omdin, ein tzadikim gemur b'yicholu la'amod. That in the place, in Olam Haba, where a Baal Tshuva states, is even a tzaddik gomer can't stand it. Okay, so, but this is the way it appears in our Gemara. There are others who say that based on a well-known Gemara in Yuma, in the name of Rish Lakish, there's a machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish as to how far tshuva goes. What capacity does tshuva have? So Rish Lakish says, Rabbi Yochanan says, G'doyla tshuva shizdonos nashish gogos. Tshuva is effective so that aveirot which were done, b'mezid, zedonos, are now to be considered only like shgogos. That's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Reish Lakish says, G'dola tshuva shezdonos nasal kizichuyot. That your aveirot are now converted into what? As zichuyot. As if you have positive deeds. In which case, when somebody is because why do they want to quote this Gemara? Because it's just impossible for us to imagine that you have people standing in the Mikdash and they are saying about themselves that they are chassidim v'anshei maaseh. They are stating that they never violated anything, A little unusual that somebody can make the claim, even though Shlomo HaMelech already says. Says that we say it in Koheles. Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher lo yecheta. There is no tzaddik in this world who does not transgress at all. So therefore, some say that even those who are chassidim and anshei maaseh, they also sinned. So what's the difference between category A and category B? Category B is when you engage in tshuva me'ahava. That's how the Rambam interprets the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. V'loy pligi. Kan kishosin tshuva me'ava, kan shosin tshuva me'yira. How does the Rambam interpret ava and yira? Yira means you're afraid of your punishment in Olam Haba. But there's nothing that you really could do at this particular moment to really do tshuva because you're too old to violate it anything. That's tshuva me'yira. What is tshuva me'ava? When a person still possesses the ability to engage in repentance. To transgress. He still engages in the capacity, he's still young enough, vibrant enough to transgress. And such a person does tshuva and refrains from doing it, that's tshuva gemura, and that's called tshuva me'ava, and that is considered zedonos nasalot kizachios. So as a result, both categories in this Gemara are talking about people who have acknowledged they did Aveira. Because to find somebody who is an absolute tzaddik, that doesn't exist. So as a result, some are the chassidim and anshei maaseh are those individuals who did tshuva me'ava. So they are considered chassidim anshei maaseh because zedonos nasalo kizachios. The second category, Elu Bali Tshuva, are doing Tshuva Meira, and that's only less effective Tshuva, which the Rambam calls Tshuva She'eno Gemura, and once it's Tshuva She'eno Gemura, they are Bali Tshuva and somewhat on a lower level.
Wasn't Rish Lakish a Bali Tshuva? Wasn't he a bank robber?
Yes, he was. That's correct. That's why he could say that. That's why he could say that. He was Al Capone of his generation, and he fell in love with Rabbi Yochanan's sister. And Rabbi Yochanan said, "You want to marry my sister? You become my student." And that's exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. And Rabbi Yochanan praised Rish Lakish because he argued with him all the time. All the time. When Rabbi Yochanan suffered terrible yisurim, 10 of his children predeceased him. Rabbi Yochanan. And all the students came in to be menachem him. And he said, you guys not giving menachem me? You guys doing right? You agree with everything I say. Send me Rish Lakish, because he challenges me, argues with me. He's the type of guy who gives me the chama, shows me what to do. But they, even the Rish Lakish, they prayed 3 days later, he died. Because he was in such distress. And he was the one who coined that famous Niv. Famous Niv. Because all of the students were telling him, can you imagine the schar that you're going to get in Olam Haba, suffering all these yisurim? And he coined that very famous phrase, lo miduf sheikh, v'lo miuktzeikh. I don't need your honey, forget about my Olam Haba, just don't give me a stink, give me back one of my children, I'll trade that on for all of my Olam Haba, give me back one of my children. And they obviously couldn't, and he chazal u'mispar. And that gemara is used in a halachic sense, that you're allowed to pray for somebody to die. It has enormous halakha consequences that you're allowed to pray for somebody to die if they're suffering, and even to hasten their death. And that's an agadic gemara, but yet that gemara has some halachic status. The question which many of the Meiri does not read this word as shekipra in this phrase in Ashrei Ziknu Seinu Shekipra Es Yaldoseinu, but he reads it as if it say shekofra. Shekafra es yaldoseinu. Kafra means to deny. It's the same thing, but just a question which verb you're using. The actions of your older years showed that there was no validity to your younger years. The fact that you were about tshuva demonstrated that you acknowledged how much of a waste of time you had when you were younger and you did tshuva. There is a many raise the question as to how in the world, in either of these selections, can a guy have such gaiva to say in the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Ashrei Yalduseinu Shelo Bisha Eziknuseinu. How fortunate we are that our old years are what? Are not embarrassing. Means you're boasting about yourself. Whatever happened to the Midah of Anava? So this is discussed by many Rishonim. And many quote, if you'll take the handout, many claim that when it comes to Yirah Shamayim, that's the only exception to the Midah of Anava. And they will cite a pasuk in the Chumash to document their perspective. Here is a medrash. Medrash Shir Ashirim, Kol Dodi Dofei. Right? The essay of the Rav's most famous essay, Kol Dodi Dofei. His hesped for the Brisk Rav. Al Yidei Moshe, B'shah Sha'omar, Vayomer Moshe, Ko Amar Hashem, Kachatzos Halayla, Ani Yotzei B'soch Mitzrayim, Pischi li Rabbi Yosa, Pischi li, open up for me. What does this mean? Rabbi Yasa Omar, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Li Yisrael, Bonai, Pischi li Pesach Echad Shel Tshuva, Kichuda Shel Machad. Open up a little doorway of tshuva that's as big as what? The eye of a needle. Va'ani poseach lachem psachim shiu agolos ukronios nichnasos bo. I will respond and what? And allow, open up such doorways that chariots and wagons will be able to get through. So you just, all you need is a little statement of acknowledgement that you're about tshuva and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to do everything for you. Piskuli, open up. In other words, tell me that you're about tshuva. What pasuk did they quote? They quote the pasuk in Parshas Miketz. When Yosef is in Mitzrayim, it's either Vayeshev or Miketz. What does he say? He said to his brothers, "Es ho Elohim ani yarei." Don't worry. I fear God. About Gaiva, Es ho Elohim ani yarei. So many we shine him right. That when it comes to Yirah Shamayim, you are allowed to be mitga'eh to some extent that you are Yirah Shamayim. And they say the following. They say the following in trying to explain it. The battle against the Yetzer Hara is such a difficult one. The temptations of the Yetzer Hara are so powerful that sometimes, in order to counter them, you have to somehow believe that you're capable of what? Of overcoming them. You have to somehow psychologically overcome all of the temptations which Yetzer Hara tries. So if one of the ways of succeeding and beating temptation is by doing what? By walking around a little stoltz. Ha! Es ho Elohim ani yarei. Ha! Wow. So even though under normal circumstances ga'ava is never tolerated, under these circumstances, because of the inherent difficulty that exists to counter the ta'ava of the Yetzer Hara, they are even willing to allow a little gaiva if it meant that would be the route through which you can somehow beat the temptations of so on and so forth. All of this, Rabotai, yeah?
What was this meant to show? This
that you are allowed to open up the doorway. You're allowed to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I did a little tshuva. Open up, just give me a little crack. Give me a little crack. I'll open up the doors wide for you.
Doesn't it mean that if you actually do a little tshuva, not...
Yeah, if obviously you can't be a chakra. No one is saying that this is a lie. But normally you would think that if you do a Baal Tshuva, you don't have to go around saying, Ichbedecha Baal Tshuva. You know, and here it's giving you license in the time of Simchas Beis HaShoeva to state publicly that I am a Baal Tshuva, that I've corrected myself. You are allowed to do so. You're allowed to do so. This is all operating on the assumption that the entire dialogue here is operating about a person himself. Ashrei Yalduseinu Shelo Bisha Ezikno-Seinu, how fortunate we were during our youth so that we did not embarrass the elders. There is another, during the time when we were older. There is another way to look at this entirely, a different way to look at this, and to claim that it has nothing to do with youth versus elders, your youth, but it has something to do with children versus adults. Children versus adults. And the phrase is Ashrei Yalduseinu, how fortunate we are that the youth which we have raised, the children that we have raised, Shelo Bisha et Ziknoseinu. They have not embarrassed us. Because so many times the younger generation embarrass, if the older generation is more is devoted and shomer Torah, and then the other, you know, a child, you know, loyaleinu, you know, it happens. It's very painful where a child just goes off the derech. It's somewhat painful. It is very painful, and I deal with this all the time. Parents who come into me and they say, my kid, I think I told you, doesn't want a yarmulke in the house. We're sitting down for lunch, I have company in the house, and he's sitting there blazing cup. You know how humiliating that is to a parent? You know, that the kid is so lack of respect that even if he doesn't mean it, I don't care if you believe in it or not, don't believe in it. It means nothing. But at least a modicum of respect for your parents who are sitting there, who are inviting company, put on a yarmulke, don't sit there with a t-shirt and not wearing a yarmulke. So it's painful. So here a person says, Ashrei Yalduseinu Shelo Bish, how fortunate we are with the people of a youth, the children, who conduct themselves in such a fashion, Shelo Bisha Ziknoseinu. But it goes one step further, and I know I told you this on another occasion. There are times when an action of a parent in itself is the trigger of a child going in the wrong direction. It's the parent. A decision made by a parent often is the trigger for a child not, changing his mind. Who is to blame under those circumstances? Is it the child or is it the parent? So I always give the same exaggerated example. You have a parent today who says, I just can't afford the tuition. Yeshiva education is killing me. And I don't want to ask for scholarship. I just not doing it. I'm sending my kids to public school. That's what I do. I'll make sure I get a Rebbe to learn with it. Okay. Kid has a so-so experience, but the broad value of a yeshiva education doesn't exist. The next generation says, you know what? I didn't go to yeshiva my whole life. Yeah, I'm going to send my kids to Talmud Torah. And I taught in Talmud Torah for a very long time, in my younger years. Very long time. And I can tell you, and this is agreed upon by almost everybody who taught in Talmud Torah, biggest failure in the history of Jewish education. The biggest. Why? Because the child saw the incongruent behavior between him and the child. The parent and the child. The kid was dropped off on Sunday morning for Saturday morning because he had to come for junior congregation, otherwise he couldn't bar mitzvah, and the father was going to play golf. And expected the kid to appreciate what Shabbos is all about. Or to do anything. The kid was taught by the overwhelming majority of teachers in the Talmud Torah system were Orthodox people, yeshiva guys who needed a couple of dollars. And they were teaching about Shabbos and Yom Tov and so on and so forth. And then they come home, there was not an ounce of credibility to it. So it became something which... The minute you became bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, you were out of here. You don't want to look at it for the rest of your life. The next generation, the guy doesn't send his kids to Talmud Torah. Doesn't send his kids to Talmud Torah. Nothing. So, this guy never comes to shul. Doesn't even come for his bar mitzvah. Not interested in anything. Doesn't come to shul Yom Kippur. So now, who's to blame for this person's lack of commitment on Yom Kippur? You going to blame this kid? No. He didn't have a half a chance. Whose was it? It was the decision of the great-grandfather who decided, you know what? I can't spend that money on tuition. I got to take my kid out of yeshiva high school. Out of yeshiva elementary school. And that's what I always say is the pshat of Pokeid Avon Avot Al Banim Al Shir Leshim V'Aribayim. Not the way Rashi interprets the name of the Gemara. Rashi interprets it in Gemara that this pasuk Pokeidam is in conflict with the pasuk Ish Bechet O Yumasu. So Rashi says, well, which one is it? Does a person die only what they owned, what they do, or does that a Kodesh Baruch Hu visit punishment upon the child and so on and so forth? So Rashi says, Kan Sheoches Masev Hosein B'Yadayim, Kan Shein Oches Masev Hosein B'Yadayim. Rashi's quoting Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin Amid Aleph. That if the children perpetuate the inappropriate activity of the parent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will visit punishment on the father, the son, and the child for all of their transgressions. For the grandfather, the great-grandfather, the father, on the child. As long as they continue to do terrible things. And the pasuk which says, Ish bechatel yumasu, you only die if you own a cat, is if you would bow tshuva. If you don't follow your example of your parents and your grandparents, then you're not going to get punishment. That's how the Gemara is. I firmly believe that I am never going to be punished, I really believe, from anything that my father did. I don't think that we, Josh and myself, will ever be punished for something that his father, my grandfather, did. I don't think I've ever, never. I don't really believe it. I really believe the operative phrase is, Ish bichet o yumasu. So what does it mean, pokeid avon avot? There are situations when what the grandfather did has an impact on that second and third generation, has an impact. And that there are stories in the reverse too, where a grandfather will make mesiras nefesh, will do anything, just to keep his kids involved in Yiddishkeit. And Lidor Dorot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Noitzer Chesed, blah, blah, 2,000 generations. I always say, Halavai, I should have a tiny chelik of Mr. Gruss's chelik in Olam Haba. A tiny chelik. He was a traditional Jew, not terribly observant, but the chelik that he's going to get for the amount of Talmud Torah that he generated by supporting every institution on the planet is unbelievable. Because every year HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up Mr. Gruss, Joseph Gruss's and Mrs. Gruss's record book and sees, oh, there are 5,000 guys here, 5,000 guys here, Lakewood, Lubavitch, YU, Torah Tamima, on Flatbush, on Ocean Parkway, the MUD, all Mr. Gruss's building. They're all learning Torah. Mr. Gruss gets credit for that. Poked avon avot. So it could very well be that the praise offered, Simchas Pesach HaShoeva, has nothing to do with you, the way Rashi interprets it, but it's focusing on the child. Ashrei Yalduseinu, Shelo Bisha Eziknoseinu, that if a person can state to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I thank you, and that's the praise, I thank you, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that my children were receptive to my message, and therefore they brought an element of pride to my family, to my parents and my grandparents. That's that's what some say is happening here. Happening here.
How does that carry over to the next one?
That it carries over very well. Ashrei Ziknosenu, where we come to recognize, we have come to recognize that sometimes our actions had an influence on what they did, and I'm coming to see kapara. Kipra lanu, I am going to try to do something to be mechaper on what? On what? On, as Yaldu saying, where they have not done, they have not. I need kapara. So I am going to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu kapara if, unfortunately, I have not succeeded. It doesn't flow as well, I grant you that. Yeah.
Yes. With all these explanations, though, what was the reason that this is what they were choosing to say during the Simcha Space Yeshua?
I have no idea. I don't know. Why did they suddenly decide? Well, we'll see in 2 seconds. That's good. Let's take care of it right now. Why are they saying these things during Simcha Space Yeshua? Excellent question. Take the sheet. I folded to add two other things: the Rambam and the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon is from his Maaser Rav. First, let's look at the Rambam. Rambam writes in Halacha Yudalit and Tezvav, Mitzvah laharbois b'simcha zu. There's a mitzvah to increase the simcha, simcha b'es ha-shoeva. V'lo ha-yo osin osa am ha-aretz v'chol mi shi'irza. We didn't allow any Tom, Dick, and Harry to participate in Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Ela gidoyle chachmi Yisrael, v'rashi ha-yeshivas b'ha-sanhedrin, v'ha-zik-chsidim, v'ha-zikainim, v'anshi ma'aseh, heim shahayu miraktin, u'misapkin, u'minagnin, u'misamchin b'mikdash b'mei chagasoros. Avol kol ha'omo anashim v'anashim, kulon von liros v'lishmoah. Continues the Rambam. Hasimcha sheyisamach adam ba'asiyas hamitzvah v'avodas ha'el shetzivu b'hen, avodah gedolah. Simcha, which a person has to engage in the performance of mitzvahs, is a major part of avodah. V'chal hamoneya atzmo misimcha zu, ra'uy lihi para mimenu. Anybody who denies himself this element of simcha is deserving of punishment. And he cites the pasuk in the Tochecha and Parshas Kisavo, Shine Emar, Tachas Ashelo Avadata Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Levav. That HaKadosh Baruch is going to be angry, even if you perform, even if you observe. But if the performance, the observance, is not from the element of Simcha, listen to this: V'Chol Hamegis Da'ato, V'Chole Kavod La'atzmo, U'Miskabei Be'enov B'Mekomos Elu. Anybody who has a sense of arrogance and cholek kavod la'atzmo. What does that mean, cholek kavod la'atzmo? Protects his dignity. How do you protect your dignity? By not dancing like a wild fool. A, what happens? Chote v'shote. Such a person is a chote and a shote. Va'al ze hishir Shlomo ve'amar, al tit hader lifnei melech. Don't machnish for a grace of mensch in front of whom? In front of the king, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to these words. V'chol hamashpil atzmo, umekil gufo b'mekomos ha'elu. Somebody who humbles himself and somehow lowers himself, hu hagadol hamechubad ha'oved ma'ava. This is the person who what? Is considered the honorable one and who does so out of Ava. V'chein David Melech Yisrael omar, v'niklosi od mizos, v'hayisi shafol be'enai. I am going to dance at crazy, and I'm going to be very, very humble. Who objected to this? Michal. Mm-hmm. She said, what, are you crazy, a king like this? V'ein hagdula v'hakavod, el l'smoach lifnei Hashem, shene emar, v'hamelech David, mifazez u'micharker lifnei Hashem. He was like jumping wildly in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Read how the Gaon conducted himself. Hagon, this is the Masei Rav. Masei Rav was written by Reb Chaim Volozhin, writing about the Gaon, his Rebbe. Hagon zal hayasameach ma'od b'chag ha'sukkos, ubesimchas Torah hayaholech lifnei ha'sefer Torah, sameach ma'od b'rov oz v'chedva v'chochmas adam ta'ir panav kilapid eish bo eret. And the joy had like was like a flame. Kilapid eish boer, umisape kafel kaf. He was clapping, umifazes, and he was shaking. Umecharke becholos lefnei hasefer Torah. Ukeshehuchzar hasefer Torah lo rena kodesh, shuv lohei sameach lekaf. He wasn't so happy any longer. Rakimo shar yantiv, just like any other yantiv. So what happens here, if you read this Rambam, the idea of the Chasid and Anshei Maaseh is specifically to state that what? Not that they were tzaddikim gemurim. Quite the contrary. What are they really supposed to say? Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we sinned, but we are doing everything to, even though we are what? What are we doing? We're saying something positive about ourselves. What is our action trying to do? In light of this, what is our action trying to do in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Humble ourselves. Even though we are now making these statements, we are still demonstrating that we are trying to humble ourselves by our actions. Making us dancing like a fool. Because in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no such thing as haughtiness, as gaiva, something that's inappropriate. If there's a mitzvah to be mesameach completely, and under those circumstances. So it's the combination of the humility and countering the gava act that is taking place at that time. Let's continue. Elu ve'elu omrim, both of them say, Ashrei mi shelo chata, umi shechata yashuv yimchala. They both now say to the entire community, fortunate is the person who never sins. But if you did sin, what do? Just do tshuva, and we guarantee that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will spare you. Tanya Amarav halhilal hazakeh, Kishayisameach besimchas beis hashoeva omar kain imani kan hakol kan v'imeini kan mikan. So here again there is a debate as to what exactly is machlokes between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Yoina in Maseches Avos. So if you take a look at Rashi says, Im ani kan hakol kan, doresh hayo l'rabim. He was preaching to the multitudes. Shelo yechatu b'shmoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they should not sin in the name of God. Imani kan hakol kan. What does this mean? Kol zman sha'ani chafetz b'bayis hazeh, as long as I am in this house, ushchinaso shiruya bo, and my shchina is dwelling in it, yehei kvodo kayam, v'yavo hakol kan. V'im techtu v'asalek shchinasi miyavo kan. So according to Rashi, upon whom is the statement imani kan hakol kan referring to? Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, if I'm here, it's worth coming here. Well, when is it going to be worth coming here? When I'm here. When I'm only going to come if people are good. But if you transgress, so that imani kan, who's going to come to the mikdash? So just an empty building. That's how Rashi learns. Rabbeinu Yonah, in his commentary to Maseches Avos, interprets this Gemara a little differently. Take the sheet, the back page, and you have the Perush of Rabbeinu Yonah on another Mishnah, a similar statement attributed to Hillel. Not exactly, but a similar, but he interprets both of them in the same fashion. What does it say? Hu haya omer, im ein ani li mili. If I'm not for myself, who is for myself? Ukisha'ani la'atzmi mo'ani. If I'm not for myself, who am I? Strange phrase. So I bracketed the Rabbeinu Yonah on the bottom of the page. Rabbeinu Yonah. Hu haya omer, im ani ini mili. Im lo ochiach atzmi, she'azareis atzmi b'mitzvot, mi li lohochiach ulizarzeni. Ki zeiruz ho'achayrim tov hu lefi sha'ah. Ava, I'll translate in a minute. Kishi'orer hadam es atzmo b'chol yom v'yom, Yosef lachshov machshavot la'asot melechas Hashem ve'ein shikcha lefanav, says the Rabbeinu Yonah. What does it mean? Im ein anili mili, and that's how he is now saying. That's how Rabbeinu Yonah is going to interpret. He's going to quote this phrase here in a second. Im ani kan hakol kan. You can be in a crowd, and when you're in a crowd, sometimes you're tempted to join along what's happening in the crowd, right? So if you're at a ball game and you're sitting there like a klutz, then suddenly the crowd gets excited. So even though it's not your tendency to jump around, to scram, to stand up and clap and so on and so forth, you will do so because you get influenced by the club. You're standing here at Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Thousands upon thousands of people are there. And what are they saying? What all these people say? Ashrei Yaldusenu Shizim. Huh! So many people are saying. Says Hillel. That's all fine and dandy for a temporary charge. But if I don't see it myself, without the environment that's been created by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Mikan, it'll be a temporary fix. It's not going to be very permanent. In which case, the phrase here, Imani kan hakol kan, is not referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to Rabbeinu Yonah. It's referring to man, to Hillel. Hillel says about himself, Imani kan, if I come to the conclusion that what? That Avodah Es Hashem is from, based on what I am, hakol kan, that's everything. That's going to last. That'll be consistent. That will be permanent. Vim eini kan, and if I can't come to that conclusion myself, mi kan. Even if there are 5,000 other people singing and dancing along, if I don't come to that recognition myself, their standing there is an absolute waste of time. So according to Rabbeinu Yonah, this particular phrase of Hillel is designed to remind the person that yet, yes, he might be swept up by the environment of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva and entertain thoughts of tshuva and so on and so forth, but if the real zirus is not going to come from an inward understanding of what your responsibility is, it's not going to have a very lasting effect, but rather a very temporary one. And as a result, it's not going to accomplish much. But if you go ahead and do it yourself under those circumstances, it's okay. Tosfos agrees with the Rabbeinu Yonah. We'll take a look at the Tosfos that Hillel was not talking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but was talking about himself, and he asks a question about it. Let's read the Tosfos. Imani kan pirish bekuntris shahaya Hillel Omer b'shmoy shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hillel is the author of this statement, but he's not quoting himself. He's quoting a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you will be good, I'll be here. And if I'll be here, everybody will come. Avol b'Yerushalmi mashma shahaya Omer al atzmo. So Yerushalmi says no. Hillel was saying it about himself. Im ani kan hakol kan. I'm here. Everybody's here. How do I know that the Yerushalmi interpreted that? Deparich, because the Yerushalmi asks, Ukilusav hu tzarich? Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need that the grace of Hillel should say, Imani kan, hakol kan? V'chi hayetzarich l'shvacho? Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu need what? The shevach of Hillel? Why is that something to be appropriate? So he answers, take a look at the end of the Tosfos, he says, no, he wasn't saying it about himself. Who was he saying it about? Am Yisrael. And when it comes to Am Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes to hear praises about Am Yisrael. And he quotes the Pesukim, V'ata Kadosh Yoshev Tehilos Yisrael. Say the Tehilos Yisrael, that you can say anytime, as long as you're not saying it about yourself. So Tosfos agrees with the Rabbeinu Yonah, but claims it, takes it in a different direction, that Hillel is saying it about himself, but not himself personally, but being rather representative of all of Am Yisrael. But he said it about himself. I always use this line. When let's say you're supposed to have a big share, right? Expecting 25 people, and one person shows up. So the temptation is, you can give a share for one person. And especially, let's say, half your class is out for what they're taking SATs or something. So the other couple of kids say, let's have a Ask the Rabbi session, let's just waste some time. We're going to learn. I always tell quotas, Imani kan. If you're here, that's enough. We can have a share. One person, it's enough to have the share. That's what Hillel said.
Remember, Rav Chaim's salvation is for everybody out and give the share.
That's correct. Then he also said, Hillel did, Hu haya omer kein lamakom. Lamakom sha'ani ohev sham ragli molich is osi. The place where I like to go, if you desire coming to the Beis Medrash, you will see that your feet will help you, what? Make your way to the Beis Medrash. V'im tavo el beisi, ani avo el beischa. Im ata lo tavo el beisi, ani lo avo el beischa. Shine emar, b'chol ha-mokam asherazge shimi, avo elecho v'erachticha. Fine. So here, Hillel finished up and saying that if you come to the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will come and bless you. You don't want to come, I won't come and bless you. Okay, so here's an example of an Agadah to Gemara. The Gemara is going to go on for another almond and a half, and I'm telling you, we're not doing it.
Where are you going to pick up from again?
I'm going to pick it up in the next Mishnah. Where the Gemara gets back to some meaty stuff about Tkiyas in the Mikdash with Chatzoitzros. Not quite. It's always much harder to develop something in Agadata than it is in Halacha.
Essentially,
yes.
Doesn't Tosafos actually follow the reading of the Gemara rather than... In other words, Rashi deviates from the reading of the Gemara while Tosafos...
Correct. That's correct. Rashi's Imanikan that's referring to... that he's a spokesman for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not the simple reading of the text. Mm. That's correct. All right, we'll stop here and we'll continue next to Bach with the Mishnah. Ein poichsin ve'esu v'achas kiyas v'migdash. And the role that the Hatzotras play v'migbar and v'mizman hazeh.
Everyone's unhappy to do it. We waited down
here. That's why I didn't have to do it. I just thought it was very trivial. I always like said,